All right, we're on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and we're going to start with Tnina. We began the Perek Chalon yesterday on Daf Ayin Vav, and we got up to the second of the wide lines, which is Tnina. But let's just review what we know so far. We said that if you have a window between two chatzeros, and the question was whether the two chatzeros can now join in a common eruv, which would allow them to pass kelim from one chatzit to the other through that window. So if the window was above 10 tefachim from the ground, then that's a problem, because the 10 tefachim of wall forms a mechitza that separates the two chatzeros. So we must guarantee that this window dips below 10 tefachim. And the question is, does it have to be completely below 10 tefachim, or is it enough that the bottom part of the window, we'll call it the bottom ledge of the window, is below 10 tefachim? And the Gemara Havamina to think that maybe we need that the entire window be below 10 tefachim. And the Gemara says, no, if the window dips down below 10 tefachim on its bottom side, that's sufficient. All right, this is where we're up to for today. Tnina, we learned in our Mishnah, Leha de Tana Rabbana. In other words, the chiddush of the Sefer, the Mishnah, the way we interpreted it, we'll find actually in a brisa. And the brisa says the following, that if you have a window in a wall between two chatzeros, so if kulo lemala me'asara u'miktsaso b'toch asara, we're going to allow you to set up an eruv between the two chatzeros if the miktsaso, meaning the bottom part of the window, only a certain segment, is below asara, betoch asara. If it's kulo betoch asara, then how much more so? Even if miktsaso, a small part, is lamala me'asara, ma'arvin shnayim, they have the option of setting up an eruv between the two chatzeros, and it means that this window is a mitzaref that sets up a chibur, a connection between the two chatzeros, such they could have a common eruv that joins them. In rotzu ma'arvim echad, if each one wants to set up his own eruv, that's fine, but the option is that they can have a joint eruv. So the Gemara asks, hashta kulo lamala me'asara miktsaso b'toch asara, if even a small part of the window, the bottom, let's say third of the window, is below asara. Amrit, you already told me that ma'arvim shnayim v'imrotz ma'arvim echad, they have the option of setting up an eruv between the two of them. Is kulo b'toch asara, if two-thirds of the window is below asara miktsaso and only one-third is l'mal asara miboy, you had to tell me? In other words, you've already told me the big chiddush, that even if a small part of the window is below asara tefachim, that's enough for that window to serve as a chibur between the two chatzeros. How much more so if most of the window is above asara tefachim, and only is how much more so it goes without saying that if, just one second, if most of the window is above asar tefachim, how much more? So if you told me that even a small fraction of the window below asar is enough, because it, as we said before, breaks up the mechitza, so how much more so? It goes without saying that if most of the window is above asar for sure, if most of the window is below asar, sorry, below asar, then for sure it goes without saying that they can make a common eruv. And the Gemara answers, Zo v'ein tzarch lomer zo ketani. We have a principle, or shall we say a methodology, in understanding brisos, which is called Zo v'ein tzarch lomer zo. I'll teach you the bigger chiddush, and then I'll mention a second chiddush, which is not even a chiddush at all. It's understood by itself. So the bottom line is that even if only a fraction of the windows below Asar Tfachim, that's enough to set up a chibur between the two chatzeros. Now, until now, up to Rabbi Yochanan that we're about to learn now, we've been dealing with a square window. Now, Rabbi Yochanan wants to address the question of a round window, which is called in Hebrew a chalon agol. And the issue that Rabbi Yochanan is addressing is kamat tzarech sheyeh mimenu b'toch asar tfachim. How much of the round window has to be below the asar tfachim? Okay, then? So in a case of a square window, the Mishnah has already established that the width of the window is 4 tfachim, and part of the window dips down below asar tfachim. And in that part that dips down below asar tfachim, you have a width of 4 tfachim. This is not the case for a round window. In the round window scenario, if you have a mashahu, only a small amount that dips below asar tfachim, that smaller part of the window, right? Because again, a round window means that, you know, the point on the bottom of the window is narrow, and it won't have the width of arba tfachim. So the point that goes below 10 tfachim in the height has to have the width of 4 tfachim. So basically, what we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to somehow make a square out of this circle so that we can determine that for sure we have below 10 tfachim a width of 4 tfachim. So how do we do such a thing? We need a mathematical formula. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chalon agol. If the window that separates these two chatzeres is round, then tzarech sheyehe be'hekefo, we're going to need a, let's call it a circumference, of 24 tfachim. Now that's pretty amazing, because we started with 4 tfachim, and now we're talking about 24 tfachim. And we're going to have a sugya now, the Gemara is going to try to figure out, how did Rabbi Yochanan come up with this calculation of 24 tfachim? So again, you could imagine a circle that has a circumference of 24 tfachim, and inside that circle you're going to cut out a square, and that square is going to have 4 tfachim on each side, so that we're guaranteed that the lower part of the window is 4 tfachim berochav. Right, so again, it's very easy to draw the picture. You have a circle that's 24 tefachim in circumference, and inside the circle, you're going to cut out a square that's going to be 4 tefachim on each side, and that's how you're going to get a guarantee that on the bottom of the window you have a width of 4 tefachim. If the window has a circumference of 24 tefachim, says Rabbi Yochanan, then you can guarantee yourself that on the bottom level of the circle, if you would draw a line, which is the square that you're cutting out in the circle, it would be 4 tfachim wide. But he says the following. He says that the rochav of the eagle, right, the rochav of the eagle is 8 tfachim. Now, rochav here in the Masifta is translated as a koter. And a koter, so that's a Hebrew word koter, kuf vav tet resh. And that koter is going to be 8 tfachim. So that means you need to draw a line, right, a diagonal line inside the square, And the diagonal line is going to be 8 tfachim. And shnayim umashu mihem, and 2 tfachim plus a little bit more of the koter of this window has to be betoch hasara, has to be within 10 tfachim from the ground. And she'im yarbenu, because if you will estimate now the square that is dalet al dalet inside the window, nimtza mashu betoch hasara, you'll have at least a mashu, a minimum amount of this square that's below asara tfachim. So I have a little bit of a diagram for it. I'll read a summary here of this Gemara. He says, Hare orech hakav shel hakoter. He says the size, the length of this koter, me'anekuda tachtona shel hachalon l'nekuda elyona, from the bottom point of this window up to the top, shmona tfachim, is 8 tfachim. U'me'acher shemerabea Hashabaruba betocho arbal arba tfachim, right? The square that's in the middle of this circle is 4x4 tfachim. Umekobo shel hamaruba, hu bi arba tfachim haimtsoim shel koter ha eagle. And the place for this square of 4 tfachim is right there in the middle of the koter. So it's going like north and south in the middle of this square. And im yale ma'at lemala o lemata lo yuchlu, if you go a little bit higher or lower into that round part on top or the round part on the bottom, lo yuchlu kol tzla osav likanes l'tocha eagle, then he won't be able to get all these four corners inside this circle. So the distance between the lowest point of the circle in the middle of this square is, and the bottom part of the square is 2 tfachim. So you have 2 tfachim going up from the ground until you get to the 4 tfachim that goes from west to east. And the same thing is on top. And mikevin shetzorach she mashu mitocha meruba shel dalet al tocha asor, you need at least a small mashu, a minimum amount of this square that goes, dips below asorah, then you need 2 tfachim umashu, you need at least 2 tfachim plus from this koter. The koter is that middle line that goes from north to south, splitting the square in half, has to get to toch asara tfachim shel hakosel. And in that mashu, he enters into a little bit of the ribua, which is 4x4 tfachim. So let's just try to summarize what we said, that a round window has to have a circumference, says Rabbi Yochanan, of 24 tfachim, so that you can make one Erev between the two chatzeros. And the lower 2 tfachim, and a little bit more, of these are betoch asar, within 10 tfachim, such that if he would make, cut out a square in the middle of this circle, and the square would be 4x4 tfachim, he would have a bit of that square that's within 10 tfachim in the ground. So Rabbi Yochanan assumes that the square of 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim requires a circle of 24 tfachim to contain it. And the Gemara now challenges the premises and the mathematics of Rabbi Yochanan's 24 tefach requirement for the circumference of the round window. Michti. The Gemara says, Kol sheyesh bekefo shlosha tfachim, if you have a circle that has a circumference of gimel tfachim, yesh bo berochvo tefach, so the diameter is a tefach, so we see a ratio of 1 to 3, is therefore betresar sagya, that all you need is a circumference of 12 tfachim to allow for a diameter of 4 tfachim. Why? Because the ratio of 1 to 3. So if you have 4 tfachim times 3, you'll end up with a circumference of 12 tfachim. Why did Rabbi Yochanan double it from 12 to 24? And the Gemara explains on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Let's just turn the page, sorry. Hani Mili. When does this ratio of 1 to 3 work? That's only be gulo in a circle of be rubua be in and tfe. If you're trying to set up a square, we need more. In other words, the parameter of the square is more than 3 times its width. So unlike a circle, the width of a square does not change with its height, and the circumference to the diameter of a ratio of 3 to 1 for a circle is not true for a square. So Gemara says, Michti, let's analyze how much greater is the parameter of a square, Kama Meruba Yeser Ala Eagle, than the circumference of the circle, Revia, 1 quarter. Okay, so now we have to multiply it by 1 quarter of the square's parameter. And that's the equivalent of 1/3 of the circle circumference. So therefore, the Gemara says, Bishitzar Sagi. All we will need now is a circumference of 16. That should be sufficient. Why does Rabbi Yochanan require a circumference of 24? So let's say the circumference is 3. So the parameter of the square that encloses that circle is going to be 4. The ratio is now 4 to 3 between a square and a circle. And if you use the ratio of 4 to 3, then what you're going to do is you're going to multiply 4 by 3 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 16, am I right? Is 12. So wait, one second. I just want to understand how we got up to 16. Just one second. Okay, so let's see. We had said that the circumference of the circle, if it has a diameter of 4 tfachim, is 12 tfachim. And we are applying the ratio of 4 to 3. So we came up with 12 tfachim. Now, we're going to come to the conclusion that the parameter of the square of the same exact diameter is 16 tfachim. And again, the reason for that is because the circumference of the circle is 3 and the parameter of the square enclosing it is 4. So that makes sense if your ratio of 4 to 3 between a circle and a square, but now we have to jack it up from 4 to 3 by adding another 4 tfachim to the 12 tfachim, we get 16 tfachim. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Hani Mili, you're going to ask me, why did Rabbi Yochanan jack it up from 16 tfachim to 24 tfachim? The answer is that our formula is only true for igula denufik migo ribuya. If you have a circle that's inscribed inside a square, avo ribuya denufik migo igula. So it's not a circle that's inscribed in a square, but rather a square that's inscribed inside a circle. So the square is not outside the circle, but inside the circle. Is then be'in and tfei, we need more. And that's going to jack it up from 16 to 24, my timer. And why is that? Mishum mursha de karnosa. Because of the corners that protrude, and the circle has to contain those corners. So since the circle arches from corner to corner, therefore, the circumference is going to be greater than that of the square that it circumscribes. And he has a diagram of this too. So the Gemara says, Michti kol amsa biribua. Every ama on the side of a square is amso tre chumshi balaksona. It makes for an ama and 2/5 in the diagonal of the square. Is therefore b'shivsar nechi chumsha sagya. All we should need is the circumference of 17 minus a fifth. 16 and 4/5, that's to be sufficient. Why does Rabbi Yochanan require 24 tefachim? So Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ki dayone de kisrei. Rabbi Yochanan made his ruling in accordance with the rabbis or the judges in the city of Caesarea. Amri lay, others say ki rabbanan de Caesarea. The Amri, they say, igula migo ribuya riba. A circle that's inscribed in a square has a parameter which is 1/4 less than the circumference of the square. Ribuya migo igula palga, the parameter of a square which is inscribed in a circle, so you're inscribing a square in a circle, is smaller by 1/2 palga than the circumference of the circle which it inscribed. And he has a summary of it here in the English. He writes, that it is less by one half of its perimeter, which is one third of the circle's circumference. The circle is 1.5 times larger than the square inscribed within it. So if the perimeter of the square is 16,
Rabbi?
Yes?
I don't know if she has the same problem. It's like
Okay. Is it a little better now?
Say it again.
Is it a little better now?
Yes.
Okay. The reason why I moved the phone is because there's too much static coming in from your side. All right. So, for example, if the perimeter of the square is 16, then the circumference of the circle that circumscribes it would be 24, based on this calculation. All right, let's go back to our Mishnah, and we'll leave some of the mathematics for another time. Pachos mi arba al arba, if the window is less than 4x4. So our Mishnah says that the window between the two chatzeros has to have a width of at least 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and it's partially within the ground space of 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, in order to set up a chibur. Omar Rabbi Nachman, lo shanu ela bechalon shebein shtei chatzeros. This only applies in the case of a window between two chatzeros. Aval chalon shebein shnei batim, but if you have a window that's between two houses, is afil malame asara nami, even if one of the windows is completely above 10 tefachim, im ratzu li'arev ma'arvim echa, they can join into one erev. So why is it that with regard to two homes that desire to set up an erev together, it matters not that the window is above 10 tefachim? My timer, besa kimanda mal yadomi, a house is considered as if it's full of objects, so the window is considered as though it were not higher than 10 tefachim from the ground. Esve rav l'rav Nachman, Rava Esekasha Rav Nachman, by citing a brisa, and this brisa doesn't make any differentiation between windows between chatzeres or windows between houses. Echad li chalon shebein shtei chatzeros, ve'echad li chalon shebein shnei batim. There's no difference between a window between two chatzeres and a window between two houses. Ve'echad li chalon shebein shtei alios, or a window between two attics. V'yachad li chalon shebein shnei gagim, a window between two roofs. V'yachad li chalon shebein shnei chadorim, or a window between two rooms. Kulam arba al arba, in all cases we require that the window has to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and besoch hasar, it's got to be dipped down at least a little bit below 10 tefachim, and that's against Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Tirguma achatzeros, take the brisa and apply it only to the window between two chatzeros. But in the window between two houses or other enclosed areas, then you could have it above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, Rava says, Va echad li ketani. Right, the brisa says it's all the same, meaning that we require the requirement that the height be below 10 tefachim is identical in all the cases that are enumerated by the Braisa, including the case of windows between two houses. Tegemua arba al arba. When he says it's all the same to me, and he's equating all the cases that are enumerated in the Braisa, that's only with regard to the width, and the width has to have a minimum of 4x4 tefachim. With regard to the height can be, in the case of two houses, above 10 tefachim, because it's kimandam al yadomi. But Minei Rabbi Abba Mirav Nachman, Rabbi Abba had a question that he asked Rav Nachman, Lul HaPasuach Min HaBayis LaAliyah, a Lul is usually translated as a chicken coop, but here it doesn't refer to a chicken coop, but rather it refers to some sort of a window, and the window is open from the house to the attic. In other words, the house and the attic are owned by two separate people, and they structure it in such a way that these two structures are connected by an opening in the floor of the attic, which was more than 10 tefachim above the floor of the house. So from the attic to the house, there's more than 10 tefachim. Is tzorech sulam kavua latiro. We have to set up a ladder in a permanent way, and that'll give you access from the attic down to the house, or from the house up to the attic, and that will allow for a common eruv between the two owners with regard to the house and the attic. That's one side in Rabbi Abba. His second possibility was, oh, eino tzorech sulam kavua. He doesn't need a permanent ladder latiro, and he would allow an eruv even in the absence of a permanent ladder. So the Gemara now analyzes the question of Rabbi Abba. Ki amrinon beisa kamandam al yadomi. We just had a principle that was established by Rav Nachman, that a house is considered as if it filled up, and therefore we don't care about the height of the window. The window could be even above 10 tefachim. That only applies hani mili minatzat. That only refers to a window that's in the wall of a house. Avol be'emtza. So it's on the side and not in the middle. But if the window is in the middle of the house, which in this case would mean in the ceiling of the house, so that's not a passageway, that's not very convenient, that cannot serve as an opening connecting the house and the attic, the bayis and the aliyah. Should we say no? That it doesn't matter where the window is located, even if, whether it's in the wall that separates the two chatzeros or the two batim, or if it's even in the ceiling. And even though it's a little bit more difficult, you know, you have to extend yourself in order to go through the ceiling to the top of the attic, nevertheless, we still would consider it as a window. And even though, again, he says that in any event, the interior airspace of the enclosed structure is regarded as non-existent, so the windows do not receive the height dimension. Now, forget about all the airspace below this window. Just focus on the window that connects the house with the attic. And we don't have to consider the height that's below the windows. Forget about that. So therefore, even this case of the overhead window is considered a Pesach. It's an opening to the attic. Amalev Rav Nachman responds, "Eino tzar. We don't need a ladder. The window itself is a Pesach that connects the two areas, and the bayis is connected to the aliyah. Despite the fact that it's not so comfortable, and it's not such a convenient passageway to the attic, but nevertheless it is a window that leads you to the attic." Sovereignly, Rabbi Abba understood from Rav Nachman's response that Sulam Kavua de Nitzarch Sulam Aroi Tzarchi does need at least some sort of temporary ladder. Itmar, however, we learned that Omer of Yosef Bar Minyomi Omer of Nachman Echad Sulam Kavua Vechad Sulam Aroi Eino Tzarchi. He doesn't need neither a permanent ladder nor even a temporary ladder. The window itself serves as a Pesach that connects the bayis to the aliyah. And this leads us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzeres. You have a wall between two chatzeres. Gavoah Sora V'rochav Arba. The wall is 10 foot high and 4 tefachim wide, which means that basically the wall itself, this kosel, is for all intents and purposes a full-fledged mechitza in every sense. It's got the height, and it even is 4 tefachim wide. And yet the Mishnah says, to our surprise, ma'arvim shnayim. Ma'arvim shnayim. The Ein Ma'arvim Echad. Oh, okay, good. I'm sorry. I thought maybe I misunderstood the Mishnah. Yeah. So it means that in this case, you have a full-fledged mechitza that separates the two chatzeros. There's no way that you can combine the two chatzeros into one. And therefore, ma'arvim shnayim, shnayim means they each have to have their own separate eruv. You need two eruvs, one eruv for each chatzer. And e'marvim echad, they cannot integrate into one common eruv for both places because the kosel, in this case, serves as a mechitza that separates the two areas. Hayu barosho peros. There was fruit on top of the kosel. Elu olin mikan v'ochlin. The elu ochlin mikan v'ochlin. Those who are in this chatzer can climb up the wall and eat the fruits from their side. And those on the other side of the kosel can likewise climb up the wall and eat the fruit on the top of the kosel. So in other words, this kosel really serves as a kosel for both chatzeros. Ubilvad, but under one condition, and that is shelo yoridu lematon. They're allowed to eat the fruit on top of the wall, but they cannot take the fruit down into their chatzer, each one into his own chatzer. And the reason for that is because what we have now is a Rishus HaYoch that's owned by one person, taking it from that Rishus HaYoch to another Rishus HaYoch that's owned by another person. So the top of the wall is 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide, and that sets it up as its own Rishus. And you can carry on top of the wall, because that's within the same Rishus, but to take it from the wall down to the chatzer, that would be equivalent to transferring it from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. Now, he writes here in a footnote that one can transfer from the wall to each chatzer and from the chatzer to a chatzer. And that's the sheet of Rab Shimon. So we don't know exactly how to interpret our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Bilvad shelo yoridon lemata," because then he's taking it from one chatzer to another chatzer. So that Isur makes sense according to the Chachamim of Rab Shimon. But Rab Shimon says that you're allowed to take something from one chatzer to another chatzer. So he writes here that Rab Shimon is going to explain that the Mishnah prohibits carrying from atop the wall to the houses of the courtyards. In other words, we're not talking about taking it down into the chatzah. That would be mutter because you're allowed to carry from one chatzah to the other, but rather you're not allowed to take it into the bayis. Okay, he doesn't explain why not. Nifritza kosel. Now, the wall came down. Ad eser amos. Let's say 10 amos worth of the length of the wall was broken, was breached. Is ma'arvim shnayim. They have to set up two independent eruvin, but im rotzu ma'arvim enecha, they also have the option of setting up one eruv, because we no longer have a kosel that separates between the two mechitzos insofar as it has a pirtza of 10 amos. Mipnei shehu Oh, my mistake. It's not more than Eser Amos. It's Ad Eser Amos. So if it's Ad Eser Amos, it means it's less than Eser Amos. And therefore, it's not called a Pirtza. It's called a Pesach. And a Pesach will connect the two Chatzeros, one to the other, in such a way that Imratzu Ma'arvim Echad, they can join in one eruv. Yosef Ikan, but if let's say the breach is 10 amos plus, then ma'arvim echad, v'ein ma'arvim shnayim. Now, we view the two chatzeres as one continuous chatzer, because each chatzer opens up into the other chatzer. That's called a pirtza. And it's not called a pesach. So there's no machitza here that separates the two chatzeros, and therefore the two chatzeros are considered one chatzer, and they will have to join together, these two people who share the use of that chatzer, into a common eruv for both chatzers. They cannot set up separate eruvin because it's one chatzer, because it's a pirtza in the kosel that separates the two chatzers. The Gemara says, Ein bar ba mai. The Mishnah mentioned a case where the wall has four tefachim wide. What's the din if it has less than four tefachim wide? So there's going to be a machlokas here. Amar Rav. Rav says, Avir shtei rishuyo sholetes bo. The airspace of these two domains, meaning the tchatzeros, is sholetes bo, controls the top of the wall, which means lo yozes bo afilu melo nema. He's not allowed to move anything on top of the wall, even a hair's breadth. So again, we have a wall that is 10 tefachim high. And the top surface of the wall, unfortunately, is not 4 tefachim wide, it's narrow. So it's not a separate domain unto itself. Rav therefore says that the wall belongs to both chatzeros. And anytime you carry on top of the wall, you're transferring it from one chatzit to the other. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, on the top of Daf Ayin Zayin, Elu Malin Mikan Vi Ochlin, Vi Elu Malin Mikan Vi Ochlin. Those who are on one side of the chatzir, they can, Malin means they can carry their food and bring it up towards the top of the wall and eat it there on the top of the wall, and the others can do the same. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, since the wall is now less than 4 tefachim wide, it has the status of a makom p'tur, and you're always allowed to take something from a makom p'tur into any area. So whereas Rav sees it as if he's taking it from one chatzit to the other chatzit, and therefore he prohibits it on top of the wall, Rabbi Yochanan sees the top of the wall as a makom p'tur. Now the Gemara is going to try to prove Rav. Tanan, we learned in that Mishnah, Elu olin mikan v'ochlim, v'elu olin mikan v'ochlim. It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that you can climb up to the wall from one chatzer and eat, but the residents, and the residents likewise in the other chatzer, can also ascend the wall and eat. Olim in, mailim lo. Although they're allowed to eat food that is already located on the top of the wall, but they're not allowed to bring food, malim lo, they're not allowed to bring food up to the wall. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if the wall is a makom p'tur, then you're allowed to carry something up to and place it on top of the wall by putting it into a makom p'tur. So Gemara answers, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah means according to Rabbi Yochanan. Yesh bo arba al arba, if the top of the wall has four tefachim by four tefachim in width, is olim in, mylin lo, then they can climb up to the wall and eat on anything that's on the wall, but mylin lo, they're not allowed to bring food up onto the wall. Why? Because if the wall has the width of four tefachim, then in effect, what you're doing is you're taking it into another chatzer. But ein bo arba al arba, if the top of the wall is narrow, and it doesn't have 4x4 tefachim, ma'alim nami, you're even allowed to bring food up onto the top of the wall because it's a makom p'tur, and you're allowed to carry from a rishus hayachid into a makom p'tur. So now, why should we differentiate now between a wall that is ein bo arba alba as opposed to yesh bo arba v'arba, as the Rabbi Yochanan l'tameh? Rabbi Yochanan is consistent. Dechi asa Rav Dimi om Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, I'm sorry, and he brought the tradition of Rav Yochanan. He said, Mokum Shein Bo Arba Arba, if you have an area that's very narrow, and it is between a Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYochid, Mutal Ivnei Rishus HaRabim, Ivnei Rishus HaYochid, Katev Olav. both the people in Rishus HaRama as well as the people in Rishus HaYochid are allowed to adjust their backpacks by using that wall. And why is that? Because the wall has the status of a Makom Patur. It's less than Dalad Tfachit. Ubevad Shelo Yachlifu. They're not allowed to make up an agreement that, you know what, I'm on this side, I'll put my baggage on top of this wall and you'll pick it up on your side and take it into your Rishus HaYochid. Because then we're afraid that if they keep doing things like that, they're going to come to do a Hotzah. And one person will individually carry it from one Rishus to the other. So in any event, the bottom line is Rabbi Yochanan's Matir taking something from a Rishus HaYochid, or for that matter from Rishus HaRabim, and putting it on top of a wall that has a very narrow, less than 4 tefach by 4 tefachim. It's a makom patur. And you can actually take things and transfer them onto the wall, because the wall is less than 4 tefachim wide, and it's a makom patur. If the top of the wall, on the other hand, is 4 tefachim in width, then it's considered a separate area, and transferring it from the chatzer is prohibited, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara asks for Rav Lesle de Rav Dimi. This din that we brought in the name of Rav Yochanan from Rav Dimi, does Rav reject it? And we say that you're allowed to take something from Rishus HaYochid and put it into Makom Patur, or from Rishus HaRav and put it into Makom Patur. So the Gemara answers, E Birashios Do'oraisa Hachinami. If we're talking about the Do'oraisa Halacha, then Rav would certainly agree with Rav Dimi that you're allowed to take it from Rishus and put it onto this very narrow wall. But Hacha, here in the case of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan and the Machlokas, Rav and Yochamai Askin, we're talking about Rishuyos D'Rabbanon. We're talking about carrying from a Chatzer into a chatzer. A chatzer is really on a derais level Rishus HaYochid. And if you're carrying between one chatzer and the other, according to the Torah law, that should be mutter. But the Rabbanon said no, that we're going to ask the carrying midrabbanon to take something from one chatzer to another chatzer. Is therefore chachamim asu chizik l'divrem yosem mishel Torah. And paradoxically, says Rav, we're going to be more machmir in a Durabanon than we would be in a Doraisa. And therefore, since we're talking about Rishuyos Durabanon, therefore, we have to guarantee that there shouldn't be any violation of those Durabanons. And we're going to do a Chizuk L'Divrayan. Yoser Michel Torah. Omar Rabba, and with this we'll conclude. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Nachman, Kosel Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. So you have a wall between two Chatzeros. Tzido Echad Gavah Asar Tfachim, Tzido Echad Shavah La'aretz. On one side, it's 10 Tfachim high. However, it's on a slant. And the other side, it levels off with the ground level of the second Chatzor on the other side. And once again, we have a little bit of a diagram here of it. And Nosnin also Lazesh Shavala Arts. Alright, so we'll take a pause here. So just to finish it up, he says here, Omar Rabba, and in the name of Nachman, Kosel Shmein Shtechatzer Sheirva Kol Achas Mehen Li Atzma. So these chatzeros, each one had its own eruv. Tzido echad pona leachas mishtei chatzeros v'gavo asar atvachim v'rochav arba. Tzido echad pona lechatzer hashnia shava la'aretz. So until now, we've been dealing with a kosel that stands between two chatzeros, and it's 10 tefachim high on both sides. Now we're talking about a case of a kosel between two chatzeros, which is 10 tefachim high lazeh, but for the other person, it's less than 10 tefachim high. And that's called tzido ha'echad, and that other side of the kosel that turns towards the second chatzer is shavah la'aretz. Klomer, eino gavah mikarka asara tefachim. it's not above the karka ten tefachim. Kigon shoya karka shalog gavoa mishel chaverta. Perhaps the ground level of one chatzer is higher than that of the other, and therefore on that side where the ground level is higher, the kosel is shavala aretz. It's exactly a ground level. Is no sino sola zesha shavala aretz, and will give yeser hashimusha akosel b'shabbos lahalos lahorid malim kalim sheshavsu b'bayis l'zesh shavah baretz. And even though it's the same kosel for both of them, but mishum dehavile tashmisho benachas v'lazes tashmisho bekoshes. So for the one that's on ground level, it's very convenient to use it, and he gets benefit from this kosel. Whereas for the other one, since it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, it's kosher. Tashmisho kosher. Is kol azeh benachas v'zelakosh and osin osol azeh tashmisho benachas. So we're going to use that kosel in favor of that one, the people in the chotzowitz tashmisho benachas. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop. Wish everyone a shana tova, and I'm sorry about the background noise. We tried to do the best we can in the absence of the internet.